الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد أما بعد All praises due to Allah. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him and reward him with goodness, said in the beginning of his khutbah that today we'll be dealing with the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. It's an interesting story, and in it you will find a lot of benefits and reminders for the believers. He began the khutbah by mentioning that Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, in English his name is Jacob, entered the land of Egypt with his children per the request of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, after he was given the ministry in Egypt. And they were people whom you can count on your fingers. Yusuf alayhi salam had told them, "Udkhulu Misra insha'Allahu aminin." Enter Egypt by Allah's leave, secure. And due to the fact that Yusuf alayhi salam had a lofty status in the sight of the person in charge at that time, he gave himself and his brothers and his family important positions in the government back then, and he gave him authority in the land, and they reached the highest of that. And many years passed by, and the children of Israel in Egypt became more in numbers, and they increased so much so that the pharaohs, al-fara'ina, became to develop some enviness and some hatred, and they were concerned about them overtaking the country. And it just so happened that Fir'aun saw a dream. And in this dream that he saw, it was interpreted to him that he will be destroyed along with his properties on the hand of a boy from the children of Israel. So he became upset and angry, and he gave a command that every newborn male among the children of Israel is to be killed. Every single newborn male is to be killed. And indeed, they did that. They started killing the children and keeping the women and using them for service, as in they were servants for them, maintaining the house and so on and so forth. And Allah had said concerning that, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Verily, Fir'aun was arrogant in the land, and he turned its people into groups and denominations, abusing a group of them by killing their children and keeping their women for service. Verily, he was among the corrupt individuals. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers in Islam, intended otherwise. He intended for this oppressor and for his destruction to be at the hands of the one whom he was avoiding. They thought, these oppressors, that Allah is not in control. They thought that they had authority. They can do what they want and prevent what they want. They can bring benefit to whom they want and deprive benefit from whoever they want. And they forgot that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one whose will be the ultimate will. And it is His will and His preordainment that will override every single thing, every single thing that the human beings plan and prepare for. And such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "And verily we want to bestow our favors upon those who were weakened in the land. وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلُهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ." And we want to make them the imams, the leaders in the community, and we want to make them the inheritors. And such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took revenge from Fir'aun, Haman, and their soldiers. The story develops that Musa was born in these circumstances where boys his age upon birth were being executed by Fir'aun. And such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired his mother, أَنِقْذِفِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ, that place him in like a basket and then place him in the river. This river will make him reach a destination where he will be picked up by an enemy of Allah and an enemy of Moses. And this is from the wonders of Allah Azza wa Jal, Fir'aun is out to kill everyone. And in order to avoid Musa, and Musa comes to him in the river. And as you know from the story, his wife, Asiya, when she saw Musa, she fell in love with him. And she said, "La taqtuluh," do not kill him. Do not kill him. And so they decided to keep him. Either they will say that he's our son, or they will just benefit from him in one way or another. And so then Musa was brought up in the very castle of his enemy. Fir'aun is out there killing strangers to avoid Musa, and Musa comes to him and he takes care of him. He's eating from their food, drinking from their water, enjoying their lavish life, Musa in the castle of Fir'aun. This shows you the Qudra of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah's ability, Allah's strength, that no matter what the people do and plan, they're unable to do anything. Look at the wisdom in this particular event. And indeed, he made it there. Now Fir'aun tried to find a nursing woman for Musa. He's an infant, right? There are no alternatives for infants in terms of what they take. Now do they have processed milk? Back then it has to be a woman. They looked for women. Allah decreed that Musa used to refuse every single woman offered to him, until they ran out of choices. Then his sister proposed that, "Shall I tell you about a group of people who will take care of him and they will be righteous concerning him?" And then they return him to his mother. Without them knowing, without Fir'aun knowing that this is Musa's mother. He's unknown. He came to him in the river. They don't know who the parents are. So Allah Azza wa Jal returned him to his mother in order for her not to grieve. And so she will believe in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jal said that concerning her, وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So she may know that the promise of Allah is true, but most people do not know. And so here is Musa alayhi salam. He's being brought up in the castle of Fir'aun under his care and under his supervision. And Fir'aun is providing him with all his needs in order for Musa to become a source of enmity and grief for Fir'aun. And إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَمَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ. Fir'aun, Haman with his minister and their soldiers were among the wrongdoers. And so the story continues. The time of breastfeeding, the weaning period comes around. Musa alayhi salatu salam continues to grow in the household of Fir'aun until he reaches the age of puberty, until he becomes mature and he becomes a man. And one night while he was walking out in the streets, he saw two men fighting. One from his tribe, one from the Bani Israel, and one from their enemy. They say it's from the Akbat, the Coptic Christians back at that time. So the one who was from his tribe sought aid from Fir'aun, from Musa. Musa was so strong that wakazahu. They say he just went like this to the man, and the man fell and died. He fell dead with a single punch, not a strong punch, according to the tafsir. And so he passed away. The person died. So then they were trying, that somebody came and told Musa, "Be careful, they're plotting to kill you because you killed one of their people. Now they're conspiring with each other in order to take revenge from you. So run and escape." And indeed, I'm going to summarize, because if I were to quote all the ayat, we'll be here till Asr. So the bottom line is that he ran away. When he made it to Madian, a particular geographical location, he found that there were a group of people providing their sheep and so on and so forth with water from a particular lake. But there were two women standing on the site. They were not approaching with their own flock. So he said, "Ma khatbukuma?" Now listen, the adab of conversating with the other gender. He didn't say, "Hey, how are you sisters? How's everything?" You know, anything of this nature. It was strictly business. "What is the matter with you? What is your affair?" They said that we will not provide drink for our cattle until these men go. And then they explain, "Wa abuna Shaykhun Kabir, and our father is an old man. They automatically gave him the justification, meaning we're not evil women who will go hang outside, you know, spend 3 hours at Danube shopping all day, all night, you know, going in and out to the market. We're not these kind of women. Not that say shopping is no good. Shopping is alright. But some women turn any excuse to leave the house, not dressed according to the deen of Allah, become a fitna for themselves and for the people. If a woman were to go out, alhamdulillah, but there are etiquettes of dress code, etiquettes of going out. It is not something random as you see today. If you go to any place, you think that you're another country. You know, this is almost not the country which you have learned the people to dress in a way pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Anyways, this is besides the story. So they explain, our father is an old man. This is why you see us here. Otherwise, our father will be the one handling business. So he helped them. And they wind up going back home. They told their father about this righteous man who helped them and so on and so forth. He sent one of them back so she may bring Musa in order to give him a particular offer. And indeed he did. He offered him to marry one of his two daughters. In return, the mahr, the dowry was that he will work for 8 years. Hijaj is a year, what is intended. 8 years, he will work for the father. And many people say it's Shu'aib, but according to the Mufassirin, it's impossible for it to be Shu'aib. Because the time span between Musa and Shu'aib is hundreds of years. So it is not Shu'aib as many people assume, that these were the daughters of Shu'aib and his father-in-law was Shu'aib. This is incorrect. It's an unknown man, a righteous man from Madian. So then he gave him, he said, 8 years, and if you wish to complete them 10, as charity from you, whichever one you do, there's no problem with me, you will find me among the righteous people. So they agreed, and Musa fulfilled 10 years working for this man. When the 10 years were over, he sought permission from his father-in-law to go back to Egypt, because this is his land. Now the Shaykh was saying, this is amazing. You know you've killed someone in another country. And as soon as you go back, you may be arrested, you may be killed, and so on and so forth. What makes you go back? What makes you go back? The qadar of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah told us in the Quran, Surah Taha, that he came upon the qadar of Allah Azza wa Jal. So while he was traveling back to Egypt with his family, with his wife, the light which they had went out, and they got lost in finding the way back. While he was in this particular condition, he saw from a distance some fire. So he said to his family, "Umkuthu, inni anastu naran, la'alli atikum minha biqabas aw ajidu 'ala an-nari huda." Remain right here. Let me go to this fire. Perhaps I will get you some fire which we will use, or I will find people, guidance, someone who will guide me, give me directions how to get to Egypt. So when he went over there, it turned out, as the Shaykh said, there was plenty of goodness awaiting Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him a speech which Musa heard. Understand this. Ahl sunnah wal jama'ah, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Shafi'i, Hanbali, Maliki, the belief of Ahl sunnah wal jama'ah, the ulama, the scholars of this ummah, that Allah spoke a speech which is audible. It's not some symbolic thing that we need to go into philosophical arguments. Allah spoke to Musa. Musa heard Allah Azza wa Jal. And he told him, "Inni ana rabbuka faqla'an alayka innaka bilwadi al-muqaddasi tuwa." Verily I am your Lord, so take off your shoes. You are in the sacred mount of Tuwa. And wa anni ikhtartuka fastami' lima yuha. Verily I have chosen you, so listen carefully to what will be revealed unto you. And what is the first thing revealed unto him? Innani ana Allah la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. Verily it is me, it is I, Allah. There is no God worthy of worship but me. So worship me and establish the salah for my remembrance. This was the first revelation which was given to Musa alayhi as-salatu was-salam. And so when this happened and he received revelation, he was then commanded to go to Fir'aun. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to go to Fir'aun, he alayhi salatu wasalam explained that he knows Fir'aun and he needed assistance. قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي وَجَعْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِي. Now, although this is very commonly used before someone begins a lecture or a talk, it is not from the sunnah. Sometimes brothers, you know, get up and say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, rabbi shrah li sadri wassir li amri." This is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If this expression was applicable, then the best to use it was the Messenger of Allah. He would have used it in all of his talks and his khutab and so on and so forth. But he never did that, alayhi salatu wasalam. Even though it's from the Quran, making it a habit to begin one's talk or reminder is against the sunnah. What is the sunnah? You begin by praising Allah and sending the exalting the mention and granting peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in various formats. It is not a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, because this is done before you recite the Quran. Before you recite the Quran, you say a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Never did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that before a khutbah, before a talk, before a reminder. It's very popular in the Muslim world among the du'at, but the sunnah is the sunnah. We don't say that they're no good, we just say that no one is perfect, and we each have our own shortcoming and mistake. So we ask Allah to expand His chest. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. He used to stutter. He wasn't able to speak fluently, alayhi salatu wasalam. And I ask Allah to remove that issue from him. وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِي. And give me a minister from among my family, Harun Akhi, my brother Harun. So Allah Azza wa Jal sent Musa and Harun to Fir'aun. And the Shaykh emphasized, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Say to him something gentle, layyin, gentle, soft, easy. And this should be the way of the du'at 90% of the time. At times, being a little stern is from the sunnah as well. I'm not going to elaborate on this now. We can deal with this in other da'wah events, inshallah. But the sunnah, the asl, is that you have to be lenient when conveying the information to the people. Otherwise, they will not be receptive. Very often, when you're a little stern, the person will become arrogant, even though he knows you're right. He will no longer accept the truth. So we have to have some methodology in the way we give da'wah to others. Fir'aun, the one who said to the people, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your Lord, the Most High. And Allah knows how evil this man was. However, he told Musa and Harun to say to him a soft, gentle word. And so they did. They went to Fir'aun. Now when they went to Fir'aun, they had a conversation with one another. First thing Musa said, Inna Rasula Rabbil Alameen. Verily, I and my brother are the messengers of Allah, the Lord of the world. Fir'aun, pretending that he doesn't know, قَالَ وَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. Who is your Lord, O Musa? So he explained Allah Azza wa Jal in very different verses in the Quran. The Shaykh quoted this one. He said, the Lord of the heavens and the earth and what is between them, indeed if you have certainty. Then look at Fir'aun. قَالَ لِمَنْ حَوْلَهُ أَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ. He said to those around him, do you not hear what this man is saying? قَالَ Musa replied, قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَرَبُّ آبَائِكُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Your Lord and the Lord of your forefathers, the ancient forefathers. قَالَ إِنَّ رَسُولَكُمُ الَّذِي أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ لَمَجْنُونَ. عَوْدُ بِاللَّهِ. Fir'aun said, this messenger who has been sent to you is crazy. The most evil man during his time, telling the messenger of Allah during his time that he is crazy. Isn't this amazing? The most evil says about the most righteous that he is crazy. And Fir'aun is the one with intellect and understanding. This is from twisting the facts and confusing the people. So then Musa continued to explain to him who Allah Jalla Jalaluh was. Anyways, the bottom line of the conversation was that Fir'aun threatened Musa. He said, I will crucify you. He told him, even if I brought you a clear evidence. And he said, Fir'aun, what is the evidence which you will bring? Now they have a challenge. So Musa thereupon, alayhi salatu salam, pulled out the staff or the stick or the cane, whatever you want to call it. And he threw it and it became a snake. Then he pulled his hand from under his armpit. And then his hand was shining with the most amazing of lights. It wasn't like a skin disease or something. It was like light illuminating in his hand. So Fir'aun said, now, first he was what? Crazy for giving him da'wah to Tawheed. Now when he saw this, he said, this is a magician. This is a great magician, continuing to reject the truth, even though he knew within that Musa was the messenger of Allah. So the agreement was that they will gather all of the magicians, so they may compete with Musa. And whoever is victorious during that event, then the people shall follow that. And indeed they agreed at a particular time, Yawm al-Zina, where everyone would gather, and the people of Fir'aun and his followers, Haman, came, and everyone came to witness this great event. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had warned the magicians beforehand. He says, be careful that Allah Azza wa Jal may send a punishment upon you if you wind up lying and fabricating lies. So that kind of caused some reminders in their mind. But they still had to be victorious for the sake of Fir'aun. So they threw their sticks on the ground, and the ground became little snakes going around. So when Musa threw his, it swallowed up all of their snakes. Now, who knew that this is not magic? The magicians. You know your business, right? If you are a professional in, you know, fixing cell phones, and someone brings to you something, you know, some issue, you're the person of experience, you know. Say, listen man, this doesn't come with the original device. Someone must have installed this feature for you. I know the phone, I know Nokia. It doesn't come with this feature, no way. Why? You are the person of expertise in this field. Who knows this wasn't magic? The magicians. They know magic, they are professional in magic. This ain't no magic. This is from Allah. So they actually, فَخَرُّوا سُجَّدًا, they threw themselves on the ground, prostration to Allah. It was immediate iman. They went from immediate kufr into immediate iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, Fir'aun became upset and he threatened to kill them. قَالُوا لَا ضَيْرِ, no harm. إِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا مُنْقَلِبُونَ, to our Lord we shall return. You want to kill us, you want to crucify us, do whatever you want, we will return to Allah. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, and the life to come is better and more lasting. This is the iman which had been instilled in their hearts instantly. Subhanallah al-Azim. Within a minute, they went from kufr into iman and they were willing to die for it. What are we doing today? Those who've had iman for years and we're still, you know, running on empty. We're running on low in terms of iman. So Fir'aun, then the years went by. Each was on their side. Musa and his people, Bani Israel, and Fir'aun and his people. And Allah tested them in these years with the locusts, with the tufan, with the floods, with the blood. And they went through difficult times. And they made a covenant with... Jazakallah khairan. Shukran. Ma yahtaj. Barakallah fiqh. Shukran. Just because he got it. Otherwise I'm okay. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Right. So they went through these difficult times. And every time they would tell Musa, tell your Lord, if he is to remove and alleviate these calamities that have befallen us, we shall believe in you. As soon as he will make dua to Allah and Allah will alleviate these problems, they will go back into their ways of disbelief. Khalas, these people had been predetermined to disbelieve and reject the messenger of Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and his brother Harun. The bottom line was that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Musa and his people to travel, to go away. And they planned, and in the early morning, as it comes in some of the tafasir, they took off going away. They made it to the ocean. The news reached Fir'aun that Musa and his people were running away. So he gathered all of his followers, all of them, with no exception, as the tafasir mentioned, and they went behind them. Now there was a crucial point. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his people standing at the edge of the ocean, at the shore, and behind them are Fir'aun. What did the people of Bani Israel, who always had weak iman, they were known for having weak iman, they said, inna lamudrakun, we have been caught, we will definitely be caught. Qala Musa, kalla, inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. Now the ulama say something very interesting. He said, no, verily with me is my Lord, he will guide me. He didn't say with us, because in that particular location he was the one with the highest iman and the one who relied the most upon Allah. So that term was only befitting him, inna ma'i rabbi, with me. He didn't say with all of us, because they didn't share with him this iman, this strong iman. And indeed Allah commanded him to split the ocean. Now many people, if you've watched the Moses movie, maybe back in the days, if you still watch movies that is, it shows that the ocean split in half. But Islamically it was actually 12 different parts. And each one of the tribes, there were 12 tribes of Bani Israel, each one of the tribes went in their own path. So the ocean was 12 paths leading to the other side. And so they walked in, crossing to the other side. Now, once they had made it to the other side, Fir'aun was still had just made it to the shore. Now, the Shaykh mentioned that there were two different narrations that explain this event. Some of the riwayat, some of the narrations mention that Fir'aun was reluctant. He did not want to go in. So Jibreel alayhi salatu salam came on some animal he was riding, and when he went by the horse of Fir'aun, he squeezed him. And consequently, the horse started running into the ocean, the dry land at that point, and everyone followed him. This is interpretation, right? I don't know whether this is authentic or not. We have to go back to the ahadith. But the Shaykh mentioned it, so I'm quoting it to you. The other one is that there's no such event. He just went in because he wanted to chase after them. The bottom line is, when everyone was in the ocean now, in the land that is, but the water is like mountains around them, and Musa and his people are out, Fir'aun and his people are in, Allah Azza wa Jal caused the water to emerge and immerse Fir'aun and his people. At the moment of death, Fir'aun said, "I believe, now I believe in the Lord of Bani Israel, wa ana min al-Muslimin, and I am among those who submit to Allah." What was said to him? Al-an, now. Now after everything you have done, all the wrongdoing, all the crimes, now when you have seen death and you know that you're about to go to Jahannam, you want to believe, this is at the time where Iman does not benefit someone. Tawbah must be prior to the moment of death. If you're in a hospital, you got 3 days to die, and you repent, Alhamdulillah. But once a person knows that he's about to die, khalas, it's over, tawbah will not be accepted. We have to be careful. We have to have tawbah prior to that particular moment. So then, in an authentic narration by Ibn Abbas, the Shaykh quoted, that Jibreel, he said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Only if you had seen me, how I was stuffing the sand of the ocean in Fir'aun's mouth, afraid that mercy shall encompass him." Because Jibreel did not want Fir'aun to receive any mercy, and Allah is the most merciful. He's trying to believe at that point, and Jibreel wanted to prevent him from Iman because he deserves punishment. So he was shoving dirt in his mouth, so he would not be able to speak. Either way, even that is by the decree of Allah. Even the actions of Jibreel are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this shows you the malaika, they have enmity against the enemies of Allah. The angels hate whomever Allah hates, and they love whomever Allah loves. As you know from the other narration in Bukhari, that when Allah loves a servant, He calls on to Jibreel, "I love Fulan, so love him." So then Jibreel will love this person, then he will call the angels that Allah loves such and such person, so love him, then the angels will love him, then Allah will put acceptance for him on earth. And the hadith continues that if Allah hates a person, He calls Jibreel until the end of the hadith. So the angels support the believers, and they support whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever Allah loves and whoever Allah hates. Okay, so this ends actually the first part, that Fir'aun and his people drowned, and Allah gave victory to Bani Israel, and He made them inherit the land of Fir'aun and his people. And the second part of the khutbah, and forgive me for the delay, ma'alish, but inshallah you'll be rewarded for every minute you spend over here, bi'idhni Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, this was a time, he said, the Shaykh said, we must know among the benefits of this story are the following. First, that this sirah, this struggle between good and bad is always and has always existed. Between good and evil has always existed. But we must know that the good end is for the muttaqeen. The good end is for the righteous people. But that requires patience from us and seeking aid and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consequently, Musa said to his people, "Ista'inu billah wasbiru." Seek aid from Allah and be patient. Verily the earth belongs to Allah. He inherits it to whomever He wills. And the good end is for the muttaqeen. So my brothers, he said, there should never be any doubt in your heart, and you should never feel despair from the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal shall grant victory to the Muslimin. This victory, this success shall come to the believers sooner or later. This is the way of Allah. There will be struggle between evil and good, but good will be victorious and good will be everlasting. But we have to do so not by speaking, by doing actions. Not only by saying, oh, inshallah, Muslims will be victorious at some point in time. By us getting involved in this formula. This success which we want to come about in the future, begins with you and I. Begins with each one of us individually. Not just speaking about it, doing it and living it and implementing it in our lives. The second benefit is the fasting of the day of Ashura, which inshallah ta'ala will coincide with this coming Sunday. Today is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the reason why, when the Prophet ﷺ went to a Medina, he found that the Jews were fasting on that day. He asked them, why do you fast? They said, this is a day where Allah granted victory to Musa and Bani Israel over Fir'aun. And he drowned Fir'aun. And so we fast this day as means of thanking Allah. He ﷺ said, we have more of a right to Musa than you. I mean, you gave him a hard time. You don't even believe in the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who Musa had foretold and prophesied about in the Old Testament and the New Testament in Jesus. You don't even believe. He said, we have more of a right than you do. So he fasted that day and he commanded the Muslims to fast on that day. Then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if I were to live till next year, and he didn't live alayhi salatu wasalam, that was the last year of his life. If I were to live till next year, I will fast the ninth along with it. Why? Because he wants to distinguish the Muslims from the kuffar. Even though we're fasting that day because of Musa and what happened to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, we still do not want to resemble the kuffar. So he added the day alayhi salatu wasalam, so the Muslims will always and forever have their own independent identity. So we will never follow the footsteps of anyone who is inferior to us. We are the superior nation and everyone else is inferior to us. If the superior follow the way of the inferior, this is misunderstanding of the deen. This is misunderstanding of the deen. We are the leaders. We say it with all confidence. And they are the nothing. How do we follow the losers? How do we imitate the enemies of Allah? How do we love them and have respect for them? When one of them comes, a kafir comes into a business as if he is some king who came into the place. La wallah. The believer has more of a right to be treated with this honor and dignity, irrespective of his nationality and his passport and the country he came from. If he's a believer, he deserves love and respect. If he's not, then there's another kind of treatment. Yes, we give them da'wah with gentleness, with kindness, and we don't express our feelings, but we don't love them and we don't imitate them. We hold honor in ourselves. This is the hikmah and the illah why the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to fast another day. So we may distinguish ourselves from the Jews who used to fast on that particular day only. So the Shaykh said the sunnah is, you can fast, it's then recommended to add a day. Whether you want to do the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th or the 11th, or the 9th and the 10th and the 11th, it's up to you. The most important day is what? The 10th of Ashura. Which the Prophet ﷺ said in authentic narration, I hope from Allah that it will expiate the sins of the past year. And pay attention, the Shaykh said, many people think that this includes the kaba'ir, the major sins. It does not. Meaning if someone is committing major sins, fornication, adultery, drinking alcohol, lying, stealing, and so on and so forth, the major sins, and one thinks, wallah, I just fast on the day of Ashura, and khalas, all my sins will be forgiven, this is incorrect. Major sins require tawbah. We must repent to Allah from them. This virtue is for the minor sins which one commits in a year. And also, this fasting should not be a ritualistic fasting where we just abstain from food and drink. There must be some iman involved with the sawm. We must avoid all kinds of haram speech, haram hearing, haram seeing, anything which will affect the value of fasting. It should be real fasting, not simply not eating or drinking. Many people have a diet. They don't eat and drink during the day anyways. How does that make us different from them? It's our iman that we're fasting for the sake of Allah, to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the Shaykh mentioned that seek reward with Allah and be keen on fasting this particular day, this coming Sunday. And then he made dua for the Muslims that Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive us and pardon us and guide us to the straight path. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.